How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Saturday. I do not see my picture up on the screen. I don't know why, but we'll fix that while we're talking.
Well, maybe someone took it, stole your picture.
No, it just popped up. You know, well, hey, I'm a pop-up guy. Yeah.
Better late than never. So lots of stuff to talk about. I don't know whether you heard about this, but last night Pete Hegseth canned a couple of major military officers at the Pentagon, the top Navy officer and the vice chief of the Air Force were unceremoniously relieved of their duties.
Any explanation why, or just you're done, you got to go?
I don't think they were. I think they were just told, thank you very much for your service, and they moved on. You know, in the military, you don't have to give them any kind of long explanation. You know, it's like we decided to move on to something else. And by the way, this was the same day that Trump fired the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and replaced him with Dan Raisin Kane. That's one of his favorite military officers. He talks about Raisin Kane in a lot of his speeches when he's on the stump. Trump does, because Raisin Kane was the officer who, when everybody else in the room was saying it's going to take us a few months to do this, Raisin Kane said, "I'll have it done in a couple of weeks." I mean, as far as getting rid of ISIS, and he was right. He did it. You know, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So Trump was impressed with his can-do attitude, and I think that's why he's made him the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, you know, he's got a positive outlook. He goes, yeah, I'll just get it done. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, dilly-dally around. And that doesn't mean that he won't hit obstacles and it might take longer than he thinks. But for the most part, this guy, he's got the moniker Raisin Kane. Yeah. I think his name is Dan Kane, right?
Yeah, Dan Kane. Yep. And then, that's his nickname because he raises a lot of cane. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you want hell, I'm going to bring it. It's in my briefcase here. Let me open it up for you. You know, and there it is. But because he comes in with a mission, let's just do it. Let's not dilly dally around. Let's do it.
Another thing, Bill, a little housekeeping here. There was some kind of an order. The media loves to make Trump look like he's losing, and he's not losing. He's winning. Mm-hmm. He's winning a lot. But there was an order that was sent to the Supreme Court for an expedited review, and yesterday the Supreme Court said, no, it's moving along perfectly. We'll just stay on course with the schedule, meaning they weren't going to expedite it. They were going to wait until it comes up for a hearing. The media came out and said, well, the Supreme Court turned down Trump's request for, like it was a loss. The fact of the matter is, folks, that the hearing that the Supreme Court is talking about is February 26th. That's what, Tuesday or Wednesday of this coming week? What's today? Today's the
Wednesday,
22nd.
I think. Yeah, so it'd probably be, Wednesday?
So it's only a few days from now. So it's not a big deal, and I wouldn't get to terribly. It's you're right. It's Wednesday, Bill.
Here's the thing that you got to realize. We always mention the weekends. Well, the weekend cycle. For the most part, you know, it didn't used to be this way. The news was always a crew there, but somehow the left stays active. As a matter of fact, on the weekend, they have a crew that kicks in that spins their negativity and their propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
There really is no conservative news stream. What you do is see loops of stuff that's a week old or, you know, last week's news over the weekend. You don't see what's bubbling on the weekend or the spins that the Democrats are putting on it. I would advise, you know, that you might want to look and take your news crew that you have for the conservative news. And say, you know what, guys, you're going to work a different week. You're going to work a 4-3 week. You know, you're going to work 8-hour days, but you're going to work, or maybe a little bit longer, but you're going to work a 4 or a 3, and they rotate so that you always have an A-team on the weekend all the way through the week, because what presenter it is, I don't know. I don't care.
What you're saying is that the opposition doesn't rest.
And we shouldn't either.
Yeah, we can't either. You're absolutely correct. But, you know, it's funny. The mainstream media, I don't believe, Bill, that they realize how liberal they are, some of them. I think some of them do. I think some of them are very much aware of the fact that they're injecting their own personal bias into their stories, and they do it intentionally. But there's a good chunk of them, Bill, and I know some, and I'm not going to mention any names, so if they're listening right now, they can relax. But there's a chunk of them out there who I think are well-intended, but they've surrounded themselves so much with opposition reporters, it becomes part of their narrative too. They start chanting the same mantra, if you know what I mean. And I think that it's sad. I don't know how we get around that. I was reading this morning, MSNBC, they just got rid of their president and hired a brand new president of MSNBC. Now, you would think with their horrendous ratings and the fact that they're being dumped, I think, by NBC. NBC is going to dump MSNBC. I think it's on the block right now. You would think that they would say, okay, what we've got to do to make it more attractive for sale is shed our lunatic left image and become a more centrist, more news organization. You know, cut the fat, get back to our basics, and try to sell a product that is saleable. But no. They hired a new president, and one of the first things she says is I've got to use Jen Psaki more. I've got to get Jen Psaki out more into the public. She does a weekend show now. Maybe make her part of the week schedule. I'm thinking, you are out of your mind. Instead of realizing you had a problem and that's why NBC's dumping you, they're not dumping you because you're profitable, MSNBC. They're dumping you because your ratings have tanked and they don't know what the hell to do with you. You're actually embarrassing NBC right now, if that's a possibility, if you know what I'm saying. So I don't know, Bill. It goes back to CNN, too, when they hired a new president about a year ago and everyone's, oh, it's going to change now. It's going to change now. It didn't change.
Well, because they're hiring people with a left agenda. They should not have a left agenda. They should not have a right agenda. The right and left agendas need to be left to people like us. If you're on the left and you have an opinion, then do a podcast or get a show that's an opinion show. And everybody knows it's very clear. The label up there is, this is what we think. If you look at our website, it says that we do political content. It's news and opinion. It is our opinion.
Yep.
And if you share that opinion, great.
And if you don't, and you don't want to listen, that's your business.
As a matter of fact, you might want to listen if you don't share the opinion, just to see how we think. So, you know, you can better carve out how you think. You might sit there and agree with some of our issues and find out we're not that far apart or that we're really far apart and vice versa. You know,
Bill? They think what amazes me is so many people on the left, they get angry at the fact that we have an opinion. They get angry.
Well, that's not their opinion.
Yeah. They get angry at the fact that we have an opinion different than theirs. You're right. You don't share their opinion, they're ticked off.
You know, and one of the things that I do, you know, I mean, you even said, well, you know, why do you even pay attention to your friends or the other side? I want to honestly say that I've listened and I understand. Sometimes I think it's stupid, but, you know, they think I'm stupid. They tell me I'm stupid. That's fine, you know. But either way, at least I know where they're coming from. And I want to know where they're coming from, because you've got to know your opposition if you want to put up a good defense.
What I see mostly from the opposition when they respond to something is not a well-thought-out intellectual conversation. It's usually a spiteful, angry response.
Yeah, because they really haven't taken the time to investigate why we're where we are with our thought process.
I have the Trump attitude right now. And you may say, well, what's the Trump attitude? Well, if you remember in the first term, Trump was trying to be more pleasing to all parties, meaning he tried to make everybody laugh or he tried to be friends with everybody. If you look at Trump this time around, there is a seriousness and a determination and a full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes kind of attitude that shows that he no longer is trying to be friends to everybody. As a matter of fact, I think he gets kind of a kick out of tweaking them. You know, he'll put his zinger like "All hail the king" on a Truth Social message, and the left will go nuts. He knows they're going to go nuts. It's a little bit of enjoyment on his part.
They do memes saying that, oh yeah, he says he's the king. He's enough. This is this proof enough? And I'm like going, apparently you don't see the comedy in what he's doing. You know, yeah. And it's a certain type of humor that he's throwing out there, and it's to get your goat. And if, you know, it's a gotcha, and we're sitting there, we're laughing at you, at your response. Look at Nancy Pelosi. She's sitting there all up in air because Trump is selling another building. Now, I didn't know that there was a Nancy Pelosi federal building in San Francisco. Do you ever know that?
Is he selling it?
He's selling it.
I didn't know that. Oh, gee.
He put it up for sale yesterday. That's
got to go over like a pregnant pole vaulter, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you know, she's brought, I keep my booze. I stockpile my booze there. Have you ever heard in the course of her career, have you ever heard about the Nancy Pelosi Federal Building?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but I
mean, well, it's a building. It's really there.
Well,
he goes, well, it's a waste. Goodbye.
Well, I didn't know that, but I can see why I should be a little perturbed. You're selling my building?
Let me get my booze out of there.
Oh, my God.
And my high hills, too. I got a hell of a hill. Whoa, you ought to see the hills I got in there.
Oh my gosh! Well, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. These things are happening. And by the way, someone said last night, Elena Haba, who is a one of his aides, one of his counsels.
Mm-hmm. She's a smart lady.
Oh, she is a smart lady, and she said, you know, Trump understands that he has a limited length of time right now. People asked him, why is he going so quickly? He has a lot to do, she says, and she knows that he has a limited period of time. If anything, he learned over the past 4 years is how fast it goes. It really goes by. He doesn't want to waste a second of it. So he's in overdrive. The media can't keep up with the guy, and that's okay. That's their problem.
You know, the interesting thing is when you get into office, you basically got 2 years to do whatever it is you're going to do because then you're running for re-election or you're winding down. Joe Biden was winding down the day he was sworn in. Yeah. But either way, you know, you're useless and he's a paperweight. Now, Trump, he got to serve a term and then he was voted out.
Right.
If it was really voted out.
Which have our doubts about, but that's another thing.
We have our opinions, but okay, yes. It is. He didn't serve those 4 years. And he's coming in. He's looking at this as a brand new presidency.
Yeah.
But he's got 4 years because he's not campaigning again in 2 years to run again. Now, there is a movement out there saying, this guy is doing so great. We got to give him a third term. And they may try to find a way to do that. He says he doesn't want to do it. But then again, if he's healthy and feels healthy enough and there were a chance and the popularity was there, he would do it. Because one thing he is very acute to is that his perception and legacy is important to him.
Oh, it is.
And this is where he gets to. He's got to do what he wants to do and do it probably in a 2-year time span because at that point in time, you're going to be promoting the J.D. Vances and everybody else that wants to, you know, take the reins. And just because J.D. Vance is in line doesn't mean he gets it because Trump put a bullpen of people around.
Oh, sure. Guys Marco Rubio, who was a smart, smart guy.
He's really impressing me,
I mean, there's so many people. You might also see Elena Haba, or Carrie Lake. I mean, these are all people who are in his team right now.
Or even Tulsi, because she might sit there and go, you know, hey, look, this is my, because she will take some from the Democrat Party, and she could, the Republicans and independents she wins over, she could have a pretty good coalition.
You got RFK Jr.
You got him. You've got a party to go, and along with Vance. And I'm just sitting there going, and Vance, he just met the threshold. So even if he didn't get in, and we're talking way ahead of school here, but even if he didn't get in, he can come back and do it again. Now, on the Democratic side, you got Gavin that wants to run. You've got Kamala that wants to run. And there's some other people throwing their hats in the ring. But I don't think they've got anybody in their bullpen. They've got an empty tank of gas.
Yeah, they don't. You know, it's interesting. We're going to see in the not-too-distant future, I really believe this, now that they have everybody in place, they have Kash Patel. He was sworn in yesterday as the director of the FBI. We have Pam Bondi. The first string team is in place right now, and I'll tell you how nervous they are of what's about to happen in D.C. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, there was a noticeable actual spike in searches for attorneys in the D.C. area, for lawyers. And also, there was a noticeable spike in real estate companies looking to sell property, people wanting to sell. So you are about to see a lot of the deep state jump off the ship real soon. There's a concern in Washington that the hammer's going to drop on a lot of corrupt people, and they know it. They know it. They're aware of it. So it will be interesting to watch. Pam Bondi was asked about the Jeffrey Epstein trial. She was asked about, have you read it? Are you looking at the cases? But she said, listen.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh my gosh?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we'll check back with you.
It's John Roberts. We'll check back with you. It's because it's sitting on her desk. She hasn't had a chance to look at it yet, but it's there. That's part of one of the things she has to do. And Trump has promised that stuff is going to be made public. Can you imagine the people who are going to be named as being a part of that whole cabal of participants on Epstein Island and what they did and what they may have done? We already know that, was it Prince Andrew is one of the guys who was partying hardy with Jeffrey Epstein? And it's crushed his royal status, basically. The king, I think, took away a lot of his privileges as royalty because of his actions on Epstein Island.
Those things happen,
though. Yes.
Yeah, it was as bad to lose your royal status. I mean,
Yes, I would hate to lose my royal status, but then again, I don't think
you don't have one.
I don't think it's anything I have to worry about. Also, a federal judge has sided with woke. We already mentioned this about the. This is a little different. So many of these stories
are coming out. You've got these mini kings out there.
Yeah.
These judges are mini kings from an elite party.
U.S. District Judge Adam Abelson, a left-wing operative placed in the position of judge by Joe Biden, ruled on Friday that the Trump administration cannot immediately revoke federal contracts and grants that promote divisive DEI initiatives. This is such an overreach, such an overstep on the part of the bench for this little dweeb to think that he has the right to interfere with the one of the three branches of government. It would be like him stepping in the way of Congress and saying, "No, you can't pass that law."
But here's what I'm seeing with that. By him doing that, other little mini kings out there are going to go, And people that have lost their job are going to go, Trump can't fire me. There we go. And those judges will step in and do this ruling to where, you know, if they want to throw a monkey wrench in it, they can throw a monkey wrench, they think. It is a short derailment, but and the Supreme Court's going to come in too. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
You know, but again, these judges are mini kings, and this is...
You know, I wish the hell one thing. I wish the Supreme Court would get off its ass, pardon my French, because with all due... And I don't mean to be crude. I apologize. I don't mean to offend anybody.
No. They need to get off their royal tookuses and make some decisions.
They've got to, you know, they talk about, well, we're waiting to... It's on schedule. We're waiting until the 26th. You know, it's not like these guys are building a house and they have a deadline. These guys sit around, for the most part, in their robes, pontificating. I'm a Supreme Court justice, and you're not. You know, I mean, hey, come on, get to work. You know, if Trump can work his tail off and get things done, you guys can too. You're another branch of government. Do your job, read the cases, get stuff done. The people need you to do your job. But, you know, they're put there for life. I think that's a mistake. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I have my I go back and forth on that.
Well, there needs to be a system in play where we actually do, you know, replace and replenish the judges, and we turn over to where they don't sit there and get beholden to anybody. And you don't want to sit there and have a system where it can be unbalanced to where one side has absolute control over another. Yeah. So we need to rethink how it works and come up with a system that keeps it fair and balanced. And there needs to be some type of litmus test for these judges when they come in.
You know, our system has proven itself to be very faulty over the last few years. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what people say. I happen to think 2020 was corrupt. The election was corrupt. I think it was stolen. By the way, I don't know whether you read this or not. This was in the news this morning too. I guess Trump is moving closer to getting rid of the machines, voting machines.
Yeah, he's telling the governors that they need to go back to paper ballots for the good of the people, good of the country. And I agree with him. But, you know, I can see where the left, he's going to take us back to the Stone Age. Well, you know what? Paper ballots, you know, there was a certain point that you could kick in the paper ballots, and there was a cutoff.
Well, Bill,
you couldn't receive anything.
For years, we had paper ballots, and we had our results by the end of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we have machines which are supposed to make it better, and now we have to wait 2 days to get the final results, 3 days in some states. Why is that? And by the way, Bill, what would happen if the federal government said, okay, states, you can have your machines. You can do your voting machine. That's fine. But every federal election has to be paper. So you can do your statewide and your local elections with your fancy-dancy computers, but federal elections must be, by law, paper. I mean, he hasn't done that yet, but I think he could kind of force them into making a decision.
Well, he could and he should, but that's my opinion. Do I see anything good going on with the electronic system?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't, because we have, I've had a problem with early voting because things can come up at the last minute, but then again, sometimes it's fake news. I don't know. We've got to look at it. We had a good system with the paper ballots, and now we have a corrupt system where you can manipulate, prolong, do whatever you want. Well, we got to do a recount. It's excuses for carrying on the length of the counting of the votes or getting your votes in. And we got to can the crap.
Yeah.
And just get back to basics.
Other things that we're looking at, you see where President Trump, he has announced that he intends on inspecting Fort Knox. Listen.
We're going to go into Fort Knox to make sure the gold is there. You know that. We're going to go into Fort Knox. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
was a bad bump.
Are they going to eliminate more national security positions, civilians there?
We'll see what happens. But one of the things we do want to look, I mean, we hope everything's fine with Fort Knox, but we're going to go to Fort Knox, the fabled Fort Knox, to make sure the gold is there.
Where would the gold have gone?
You know, many senators like Rand Paul have been pushing over and over again to go see what's in Fort Knox, and they've been denied. So if a U.S. senator can't get in to see Fort Knox, it'll be interesting to see how they respond to the President of the United States of America.
I don't know how they can stop him.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 1974?
Well, that was the last time? That was a partial audit. They didn't finish it.
Yeah, and I was always under the impression that the gold you could see that was under secure armed guard, but it's in a building that, you know, it's almost like it's a fairy tale castle that we have this, and we have the most gold of, I think it's like 5.08 metric tons of gold or something like that.
Have you seen the movie Goldfinger?
Yeah.
With Oddjob in Fort Knox. I just keep thinking that maybe Goldfinger got in there. Maybe he actually took the stuff. Maybe we just don't know. I mean, wouldn't it be something if they go in there and find that it's just a bunch of empty vaults?
Well, then now what would that do to us? Even though we went off the gold system, we have no gold?
Well, we've been living on the off the gold standard, since Nixon?
Reagan. Or Nixon.
I think it was. Anyway, it's been a long time. And our money has been based on the strength of our country. The strength of our country probably hasn't been greater than it is right now with Trump back in office. So I don't know how much it would damage us. And I also think that if the money's been stolen, they'll find it. And if they find it, they'll go get it.
You got to find it. Now, the interesting thing is the second biggest holder of the gold is the UK. And they're taking gold and supposedly shipping it to Fort Knox to kind of counteract tariffs, you know, that are impending.
I've also heard there's a big supply of gold, would you believe, in the Vatican.
I thought we got some of that back.
Well, why does the Vatican have all this gold? Where do they get it from?
Why do they need the gold, yeah.
But where do they get it from? What is the thing that they sell? What commodity is it that they sell? So speaking of the Vatican, see where the Pope is. I hear one report saying he's feeling better. Another report saying he has double pneumonia. Now I heard the most recent story is he's considering retiring.
Right, I heard that yesterday.
Now, isn't that kind of interesting? Why would the Pope really? Isn't it kind of coincidental that as Trump is starting to show his strength again, the Pope suddenly decides that maybe it's a good thing for him to step
away. Get the hell out of
Dodge.
Yeah, now, but who will become the new Pope?
They'll have some kind of a selection, you know.
And will we be focused on that? All eyes will be
watching the smoke coming out of the Vatican.
Yeah, that is going to be crazy, but yeah, that's...
Yeah,
there's a lot more things going on, and I'm not trying to sound sacrilegious or anything like that, but I'm not Catholic.
The thing that gets me I am Catholic, and I practice. I love how they say practice. It's as if we're trying to learn how to do something. I am Catholic, and I go to church, okay? I mean, but the thing is this. I often think to myself, you know, these guys in Rome live in these palaces. They live in this opulence. They live in this wealth. Yet the guy who were there supposedly the church was founded on, Jesus, right? He lived in abject poverty and was crucified on a cross. You know,
right.
If you're supposed to be emulating Jesus, why would you be living like kings? He was a king. Jesus was. Yet he didn't live like one. You know, these guys, they become the king of the church, the prince of the church, as they call it, and they live like royalty. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I mean, your faith is your faith. But the Christian community is big, but, there will be a lot of focus on that, waiting for the puff of smoke and everything.
Yeah.
And the news will make big hay out of it. And it's important that you know who your new Pope will be if that, you know, it comes up to that. But
I got to remind
so many other
I was going to say, Bill, I got to remind people. We're having a little hesitation on our line today. I apologize for that. I want to remind people that while they are getting up this morning or this weekend, you might want to try a cup of Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's a great cup of coffee, really. Honest to God, the reviews are coming in from far and wide. I kind of like your coffee. I didn't think you guys could do this. Well, actually, we didn't either. But the fact of the matter, it is a good cup of coffee, and you can try it for yourself by going to our store, our online store, rightsideshop.com, and you'll see a bunch of neat stuff there, cups and sweatshirts and T-shirts and hats, but you'll also see Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, medium roast and medium decaf roast, two different versions of the same coffee. Also, we have MAPA, Make America Percolate Again, which is a brand new brand. You should buy that one just for the packaging, because our graphic artist went through hoops, stayed up all night working on a design for that bag, and it's a nice one too. So by the way, we also have Juan Jose and the Border Crossers who are here, and they are by the way the only group who wear the costume of a flotation device. They wear a flotation device while they're playing, which makes them kind of unique looking, but that's how they got here. You see, they didn't take the highway. They took the byway. They came across the Rio Grande.
They came across the wrong way, but that's right. Don't say anything.
And you want to see him jump. Just walk into him when they're resting and say, Holman. And they scatter like cockroaches. It's amazing.
Well, we'll give Holman a cup of coffee. You know, maybe he'll change his ways for them.
That's true. Anyway, they're here to sing right now. Without any further ado, guys.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. Bill, sad news. Sad news. I know this is, you might want to sit down for this.
All right, hang on. Let me scoot. Okay.
It's an end of an era. Hooters is preparing to file bankruptcy in the coming months, according to Bloomberg News. The restaurant chain, known for waitresses in cheeky orange shorts and low-cut white tank tops, is reportedly struggling with cash flow due to low foot traffic, meaning people have seen it already, you know. Hooters is having trouble, and they may be closing their doors in the not too distant future, which is sad. I mean,
are you telling me?
You know, people are loyal to their restaurants.
Yeah,
that's not the case. You know, someone will say, "I've been going to that restaurant for 5 years, or for 10 years, or 20 years." Well, it's closed. Okay, Martha, where can we go next?
It's hard to believe that an American tradition is a bust. But
only a boob would say that. Anyway,
well, you got two boobs right here. Why do you need Hooters? Yes,
we could go on, but that's another.
No.
You guys know who Victor Davis Hanson is. He's a smart conservative thinker. He's a guy who I think he taught at Stanford, and he's just very articulate and not ever at a loss for words. He recently did a little dissertation on what we're going through right now. People say, "Well, we're going through a revolution." He said, "No. We've lived through the revolution. This is a counter-revolution. Listen."
And they call it the MAGA revolution. It's not a revolution. It is a counter-revolution. There's a big difference. This is a restoration. Let's use the word Trump restoration. We don't really appreciate what we've been through with 8 years of the Obama revolution and the four-year more radical third term of Obama using or employing the waxen effigy of Joe Biden. A revolution that we've experienced was a cultural, economic, political, social revolution. It was very similar to the French Revolution under the Robespierre brothers. You should remember what they tried to do. They changed the days of the week. They renamed things. They tore down statues. They went after the church. Does this sound familiar? This revolution that we've experienced, everything was up for sale. Everything was negotiable. We invented a third gender and rammed it down people's throats. We tore down statues. We said 1776 was no longer the foundational date. It was 1619. We changed the very mechanism that we vote. We went from 70% of the electorate voting on election day to 70% of the electorate not doing that, either through mail-in or early voting. That was a radical change that had no discussion. It was done by fiat. It was incredible. We looked at girls' sports and we destroyed it. We said that transgendered biological males that were now transgendered females could compete. They won over 600 medals they took away from hardworking female athletes. We had drag shows among young children. It was an effort to change the entire Constitution. We forget that. They were trying to bring in Puerto Rico as a state and Washington, D.C. to get four instant senators. They were proud. They said that they were going to pack the Supreme Court. Hadn't been tried since 1937. And it was a object of disgrace ever since, but they were proud to try it again. They talked about making states, the Senate, look like the House. They wanted, and a lot of them were advocating, it was not fair that one senator in Wyoming, to take one example, is worth 250,000 votes, but a senator in California represented 20 million. They wanted to change the makeup of the Senate. They wanted to get rid of the Senate filibuster. Remember that. They wanted to bring back neo-Confederate nullification. 600 jurisdictions in the manner of South Carolina in 1832 are on the edge of the Civil War in 1860 when Confederate, neo-Confederate Southern states said the federal government's law does not apply to us. Tariffs, Yankee tariffs, no. We were going to override them. Andrew Jackson almost invaded the Carolinas over that, South Carolina. And so these jurisdictions said, federal law doesn't apply here. We're exempt. We have our own laws. Federal immigration law does not apply here. It applies everywhere else to you, but not to us. So this was a revolutionary movement. Movies were different. Sports were different. Take a knee. And Donald Trump came in, and it was not sufficient to say we're going to stop the madness of $37 billion. We're going to stop the madness of being short 40 or 50,000 military recruits because of this DEI coupled with the humiliation in Kabul. We're going to stop the appeasement of China. But that wasn't all. He said, the government is broke. We're going to go through all of these agencies. And finally, for the first time in the history of this country, when somebody says they're going to cut federal spending and drain the swamp or cut the administration, we're going to do it. And there's going to be no changing names except to go back to traditional names. And we're not going to topple statues. And if you break the law and you're on campus and you're on a student visa, you're going to go back home. So we're in the midst of a counter-revolution. It's not revolutionary. You know what it is? It's a return to normalcy. It's a return to common sense. It only looks revolutionary to revolutionaries. But to the rest of the people, it is a counter-revolution to restore normalcy and bring the country from the far left fringes back home again.
Boy, so well said and so true. It's a counter-revolution that we're in right now. We're going back to normalcy.
Right.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, you look at how they try to spin doctor everything. They were going over the facts of, I think it was Carville was on Hannity, and the left is saying, oh, well, he handed Hannity his butt, talking about the USA aid, $41 billion, from the $6 trillion. He was going, well, that's 0.014%. He's taking a minuscule amount, trying to trivialize it. But, I think he made one mistake in his verbalization there. He goes, What was he? Thinks we need a new playbook, and I'm trying to find his quote here. He goes, I'm not too concerned about a high school track meet. That's it. I'm not too worried about the high school
track meet. He's trying to minimize things that they tried to do. You know, I look at this. They've moved AOC out of the limelight and injected this Jasmine Crockett as the new point person for the left in the House of Representatives. And with all due respect, Jasmine, if you're listening, you may not be a moron, but you sure do present yourself as one.
Jim, I would say she is a moron, but that is my opinion. I mean, she says that she's rooting for Mexico
and Canada.
And Canada against America. Well, to me, you know, you've always, you talked about insurrection. You've talked about somebody that's not patriotic and is anti-American. Well, that is the definition of it there, sweetheart, and we ought to put your picture on that mug.
Yeah, well, she is very inarticulate, to say the least. The left hasn't gotten it yet. First of all, I don't believe, and I've heard a lot of them talk in interviews, I don't feel they think that they lost the last election. I think
they think
it was a mistake, or it was some kind of a miscalculation that America really is in line with what they believe, when in reality, they are so far out of step with mainstream America. If they continue down this path, they're not going to win, never mind the next election. They won't win the election for the next 20 years. Because, you know, it's Bill, they're traveling off. It's not like they're getting, they're going parallel to us as far as being out of alignment. They are shooting away. They get more radical as the days and weeks progress.
Well, talking about Jasmine Crockett, let me ask you a question. What percentage of America voted for Trump?
Well, I can tell you it was over 77 million people. Of the actual voters, it was the majority. Of America, it was probably about a third. You know, the population's 330 million, but there are children.
Children and all that. Yeah. So let's just talk about the voting base, because you've got a voting base there that might be
120. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, yeah. 120, 150. So would you say 70% voted for Trump?
I would say, at least 70%, 60% of the people, you know. I don't know, Bill. It's a good question.
It's a higher number. Well, what I'm getting down to is she says, you know, the reason for Trump's popularity is that America is stupid. So there are Democrats, too, that are going over to the Trump side now saying, you know, this makes sense to me. So what you're doing is you're calling not only what you like to refer to as MAGA or conservatives or Republicans, but now you're calling Democrats stupid, because they agree with us.
Let's do a quick little review. President Trump was a Democrat, and RFK was a Democrat, and Tulsi Gabbard was a Democrat. And a lot of people that are important in our party right now were Democrats. Heck, so maybe, you know, 40 years ago, I was a Democrat.
So maybe Jasmine is the stupid one.
By the way, here's the problem. I don't think that the right understands that the traditional Republican Party is not MAGA. MAGA is actually, which is the ruling party. I mean, MAGA is the dominant force in the Republican side right now. We're not talking about the go-along-to-get-along rhinos like Collins in Maine and Murkowski in Alaska. We're talking about most of the people who are, quote, Republicans right now. They're MAGA. You know, I heard it described this way. You know, for the longest time, they called the Democratic Party as the blue-collar party. It was the party of the working man. Well, that's not the case anymore. It is not the case anymore. The MAGA movement is the party of the blue-collar laborer and worker. That's the problem they got. They had the largest minority vote this past election. Trump got the largest amount of minority votes for the right, I think, they've ever had. You know, he's setting records. And they're going to keep moving in that direction because they were already talking about, President Trump was I think he was in a press conference a couple of days ago, and he said this. Listen.
There's even under consideration a new concept where we give 20% of the DOGE savings to American citizens and 20% goes to paying down debt, because the numbers are incredible, Elon. So many billions of dollars, billions, hundreds of billions, and we're thinking about giving 20% back to the American citizens and 20% down to pay back debt and pay down debt, which is, if you look at value, if it were a real estate balance sheet, the debt is tiny, but we still want to pay it down. Doesn't matter. We don't look at it as a piece of real estate. It's America. We're going to get it down through intelligence, hard work, and as Elon said, a word called caring. You have to care.
You know, it's amazing. The media says Elon Musk. What's in it for him? Why is he doing all this Doge thing? Is he trying to weasel himself into a more profitable position with the government? Is Trump looking to make some money? No. These are two guys who are billionaires who A, don't need the money at all. And,
right.
they're talking about giving Bill Knight and Jim Harrington and you, the listener, $5,000?
$5,000. Yeah. Now, this is not a done deal, and there are people that are sitting there going, well, you're going to take 20% and throw it to the debt. Why not take the 20% that he was going to throw to us and throw that to the debt, too? And I'm sitting there going, no. Well, that's fine and dandy, but, you know, we need to get something back, too. Now, you got to show me that when that gets paid, that you're not going to go and blow it again.
Well, I also heard somebody say, wait a second, it is a smart move giving the $5,000 back to the American public, because they'll either buy cars or they'll buy something special for the house.
Exactly.
Or they'll pay down their debt. The money will go back for the most part. Some people will save it. But for the most part, it's going to be fed back into our economy, and it's going to make our economy healthier, you know? So don't think of it as like, you're hurting yourself by giving that $5,000 to the people. And by the way, it's also a great PR move.
Mm-hmm. Look, if he gives the money back, you're going to spend it or you're going to save it. So if you spend it, it goes immediately to the economy. Oh, wait, if you save it, you know, you're not going to put it in a cookie jar
right.
in a closet. I mean, unless you're really stupid. No, you're going to put it in the bank. It's going to get some interest, but the bank's going to take that money and
yes.
invest it. So it goes back into the economy. So it is a win-win-win.
Absolutely. 100%. And also heard him say 20% is going to go to pay down debt. They're going to put that money, by the way. That means, by the way, there's still 60% they haven't figured out what to do with. We're only talking about 20% and 20%. So obviously they're going to put some money into veteran stuff and other things that they're not talking about. This guy has only been in office less than a month. You know, give him time.
Could you imagine if we get to a point to where, you know, everybody's arguing about the tariffs. Well, it's equal tariffs. If you charge us a tariff, we charge you the same tariff. That's what the deal is.
Right.
So that is fair, and it puts everybody on an even, same
yes.
playing field, and then it's the might of the American people, that's you out there listening, and your skills that makes a widget that's better than the widget that comes from Japan or the one that comes from China, and that your work is on equal footing in the world. And if they don't buy it, then that means we got to change our game. If they do buy it, it means that we probably have the better widget. And that is, so it falls back on our shoulders. But, you know, this lie that they're trying to portray out there that, we could get to a point to where this country, with the tariffs and the new structure, could get to a point to where we have no debt. Wouldn't that be great when we go, well, we want to do this. We don't
have to create a tax. They're talking about getting rid of the IRS. They're talking about getting rid of the IRS. I mean, not like down the road. Like soon. And people mm-hmm. may say, well, what are you going to do for income? Well, he's building something called the Internal Revenue Service.
External.
I mean, External Revenue Service. The External Revenue Service is going to generate money from tariffs and from other sources outside of the U.S. The burden of keeping the country floating won't be on the back of the American people anymore, but from other sources, you know?
Our ledger will have a plus instead of a minus. And if it has such a big plus, let's just say that we were, instead of whatever it is, $37 trillion in debt, we had a surplus of $37 trillion.
Yeah.
What would that do to everything?
Well, you know, if you want to see the ridiculousness of the left's argument, look at the people who were PO'd about the fact that Trump is talking to Ukraine about them paying us back on our, I hear the figure go from 200 billion rather to 350 billion. But whatever it is, it's between $200 and $350 billion that we've given them for this no-win war. And now the left is ticked off because Trump is saying, look, I worked out a deal. He said, I worked out a deal with Zelensky that we would go in and we would split their rare earth minerals and that we can use. It'll be beneficial for you because we'll be investing in your country again, building your economy back up again, and we'll be benefiting from the rare earth minerals. Zelensky said, that's a great idea, but I have to present it to my parliament. Then the two-faced so-and-so goes in front of his parliament and says he rejected the idea. It's a bad idea. He lied to Trump. So Trump said the other day, I think it was day before yesterday, look, I'm going to have these peace talks with Putin, and if Zelensky isn't there, so be it. He's had three, maybe 4 years almost, to work out a deal with Putin before. Even before the war started, he could have stopped it from happening. He didn't do it. Zelensky could be more of an impedance, an impediment to a peace deal than if he's actually at the table. So Trump is really ticked off at Zelensky because Zelensky can't be trusted, you know, with a deal. Now, you may say, well, you can't trust Putin, too, and I'm not saying you can, and I don't think Trump does. I think Trump knows exactly how Putin deals. And I think that he knows that he can, no matter how bad a guy Putin is, he can work out a deal where Putin will live by it. You know, whereas Zelensky is almost immature in his diplomacy skills, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see how, by the way, in case you hadn't heard, the Ukrainians are complaining that all of a sudden, in the past week, the United States has stopped their shipment of weapons to the Ukraine. They've paused it. Now, I think that's Trump saying, okay, you want to fool around? You want to fool around with us? You want to play games with us and embarrass us on the world stage? We're going to stop shipments of everything immediately. And believe me, that's not going to go on long because if Trump stops to participate in the war, then the Ukraine will lose to Russia in a matter of days. They'll run out of weaponry, they'll run out of ammunition, and they will lose the war.
That's why Zelensky is now trying to make deals with the other NATO nations, Germany and whatnot, and I think even England, to sit there and help them, and they are talking about it. But you know what? In my mind, that might take us out of NATO. And that means they are on their own against the two other big superpowers. And without us, and I'm not trying to sound egotistical there or not, but without us, they are vulnerable.
Oh, big time. Big time, Bill. They haven't got the wherewithal to handle Russia by themselves.
Yeah. So they really got to think about what they're doing because this is stupid.
Yes, it is. And all Zelensky has to do is work with the United States. He doesn't want peace. I almost think that Zelensky figures that if they get peace, one of the conditions will be that he will be removed from office. And he likes power.
Well, there would be an election. And there's a general now that I forget, I don't have
Zelensky,
my notes for yesterday.
Yeah,
Zelensky. He would be the guy that is favored to win. Now, I don't know much about the guy, so I can't sit there and say which way the wind will blow with him. Anytime I hear a military leader going in, I'm going, well, they know about blowing up things and breaking things, but he's fought in that war, and he probably knows where they stand against Russia, and it's not good in the long...
Yeah, what I've read, Bill, is that he is more in line with peace than Volodymyr Zelensky is.
Yeah, you know, fighting is your ultimate last measure, you know, but it's you know, look, I'm talking strong, and I got the muscle to back me up. So let's go to the table and talk like gentlemen. But if you don't want to be a gentleman, I can roll up my sleeves and you're not going to be happy.
Here's that general, Bill, he was a warrior. He was on the battlefield. He saw it firsthand. Mm-hmm. Zelensky, even though he wore the khaki uniforms and pretended to be a military leader, he was a comedian before he was president of Ukraine.
He had a special talent, too. He played the piano without his hands,
yes.
You know, with his pants down.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. And he.
And if you think we're kidding, this video on YouTube, check it out.
Gives a whole new meaning to slapstick comedy, I guess. But anyway.
Yes. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Ukraine. I do think that if Trump wants peace, there will be peace. You know, there'll be peace. Mm-hmm. Zelensky may not like it, but he. Well, someone said, "Look, it's simple. Either you go along with Trump and you retain your country, or you don't go along with Trump. You end up losing the war, and you are in exile somewhere. If you're lucky, maybe." So Zelensky better get off his gluteus maximus and get his act together. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Bill, before we wrap this thing up, was the situation in Israel right now. I think we might have mentioned this the other day, but the two Bibas children, the little 10-year-old boy and his older brother Ariel, it's Kafer and Ariel Bibas, they were the two little children who were killed by Hamas, and it is absolutely despicable what they did. Here is the audio from Israel that came out about what really happened. Listen to this.
We can confirm that baby Kfir Bibas, aged just 10 months. Old, and his older brother Ariel, aged 4, were both brutally murdered by terrorists while being held hostage in Gaza no later than November 2023. These two innocent children were taken hostage alive together with their mother Shiri from their home on October 7th, 2023. Contrary to Hamas's lies, Ariel and Kfir were not killed in an airstrike. Ariel and Kfir Bibas were murdered by terrorists in cold blood. The terrorists did not shoot the two young boys. They killed them with their bare hands.
Can you believe that? They killed them they strangled them to death.
And yeah, they had to strangle them.
And then they bludgeoned them to make it look like they were hit in an airstrike. And then the crowd, this is the problem I have right now. And I was in bed last night thinking, how do you resolve this? Because the Palestinian who lined the streets as the coffins were being taken through, for removal from the country, they were cheering like they were happy that these two little innocents had been brutally destroyed by these animals. And I'm thinking, and now the whole landscape of this, exchange system is in jeopardy because Netanyahu came out yesterday and said, look, that's it. We want all of the hostages back now.
That's what he should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And I would give him a deadline and an ultimatum, which I would deliver on it, because whether you got hostages alive or dead, and I'm going to assume they're all dead, but you never assume anything.
Right.
But you know, one thing you can matter of factly know is that if they're not giving them all back at once, they have no intention of that. And the people that are alive, you know, they're dead, you know, from the perspective of Hamas is not going to give them back. you know, alive.
Well, you don't know how recently those two little children were killed. They might have they might have killed them a couple of days ago before the whole thing was made public.
Yeah, I mean, the live bodies we've gotten back, maybe the only live bodies there are, because they just hadn't gotten around to it yet. And the babies, you know, let me give you a reality check here. Those babies, number one, you know, they were of a different race. So, you know, there's racial stuff going on there. They didn't want to see those kids grow up to fight them. And, you know, babies, what do they do naturally when they're hungry and they got a dirty diaper?
They cry.
And so I can visualize it right now. Somebody that has no respect and a lot of disdain for a certain race or somebody else, and that baby's crying, they'll take that baby, strangle it, throw it around, and that is what I visualize. And they better prove otherwise, because that is what happened.
They've alienated, not that they were ever hopeful of a real peace in that area, but they've really alienated the Israelis now, so that they're at the point where I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to bomb. And by the way, Bill, they got the 2-ton bunker buster bombs that Biden wouldn't give Israel. I guess
the
they would deliver this week. Am I correct?
Yeah, they got there on the 16th because Trump said no, you're going to get them. They got some 1,800 military ordinances plus the bombs.
Goodbye to the tunnels. The tunnels will be
goodbye.
History.
You know those bombs.
Yeah,
and the power of those bombs. They're called bunker buster for a reason. I think they came. I could be wrong. You need a military expert, but they were developed for when we were in the Afghan war. You know,
they designed so they can penetrate a building made of concrete and don't explode till they're inside the building.
Yeah,
they're in a different situation now. I was thinking, how does, you know, Trump made a proposal. The proposal was, look, we will relocate the Palestinians to Jordan and Egypt and maybe some other countries, spread them out a bit, and that'll be a permanent move. Then we'll go into Gaza. We will we'll clean it all up, get rid of all the dead, the live ordnance, and make it a real show place. And I was thinking last night, you know, I don't know how you do that now. I don't think these Palestinians will ever relinquish their hate. It's how do you cheer the demise, the murdering of little babies? I mean, even if they're your enemy's babies, babies are in a separate category. I don't care. Babies are in a separate category all by themselves.
Put it in liberal terms, take a puppy. Take a little cute puppy. Its eyes aren't even open yet, and somebody taking that little puppy and, you know, grabbing it by the head and twirling it around, snapping its neck.
Even thinking about it makes me upset.
That's exactly what they're doing now. Put a human life on it. Make it your child or your daughter's child. Put it in a perspective. You know, take the politics out of it. Just put some humanity to it. And what they're doing is wrong. So probably what I'd do is I would do the old-fashioned thing of flying over with the leaflets. I would drop the leaflets, you know, no propaganda, just sitting there and saying, here's what your choices are. Here's what we're going to do. This is the deadline. And I would even have a side for Hamas. The other side would say, you do anything to hurt anybody, then we know about it. The time frame is off because these Palestinians know the soldiers or know some of them, and make sure that everybody understands what the ultimatum is and the deadline. And when the deadline hit, I would fly in the bombers and start.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if something happens this weekend in that area. I think that they have, I could be wrong, but I think that they have worn out their welcome. Hamas has. And I think the matter is almost a done deal. I think that the war will resume. And I think it won't end until Hamas is finished. So I could be wrong. What I wanted to point out to our friends is that if you're looking for a great cup of coffee, we would advise that you try Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's a delicious cup of coffee, and it's available in our store, rightsideshop.com. Rightsideshop.com. And it's a medium blend, by the way. A dark roast or a light roast. It's a medium roasted blend and a medium decaf blend of coffee. So it's in the middle there. So, if you like a darker coffee, this is a pretty good cup of coffee. If you like a lighter coffee, it may be a little strong, but it's still good. You got to try it. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. Also, we are the guys who employ Juan Jose and the Border Crossers to sing our jingle.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Anyway, my friend, that's about it for me. I haven't got anything more on this program. It's a weekend update show. We always say before we start every weekend update show, Bill and I say, look it, this is an update show. We don't have to do a whole show. We can do like 25, 30 minutes, and that's it.
And then you go running your mouth for a whole hour, and I sit back and go, nah, I'm kidding. Hey, there is one story developing today that probably will have some legs Monday. Don't know. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, he's in a lot of trouble, but Hochul is not removing him. And,
right.
He may lose the election. Now, Trump, a while back, directed the Department of Justice to dismiss a federal corruption case against Adams.
Right.
Well, just this morning, the news comes out that he is suing the Trump administration over $80.5 million in migrant shelter funding revoked by the feds. So
you mean Adams is?
Yeah, he's
Adams
suing
is suing the Trump administration. Let me explain one thing.
Yeah,
I believe that they removed the charges against Adams. Without prejudice?
Yeah,
which means I believe that they have the ability to reinstate the charges. So yeah, I would be very careful. He's got Hochul breathing down his neck. He probably promised Hochul that he'll stand firm as a patriotic Democrat. But it could be to his detriment because they may refile those charges. You watch.
Right. And I think he knows where a lot of the bones are, where the skeletons are for a lot of different things there. And that was why he said there was no deal. Well, now we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Because he I think it was a dumb move on his part to put that pressure on. I mean, I get it. There's the migrant issue, but it does cost money. But there's a reason for the pulling of the funding, and for him to go and sue for $80.5 million, it's kind of a backhanded slap in the face. I would be careful if I were him.
So here's the thing.
Over the weekend,
here's the thing. He probably was told by the state, we're not paying for it, and he hasn't got the money in his bank account, so he probably had no option other than to go back to the federal government. But the federal government with Trump, I don't think Trump is going to. Pam Bondi, I don't think is a attorney general to be trifled with. I think don't let her. You know, she's an attractive young woman. Don't let that disarm you. She's a tough person.
Here's Eric's problem. Now that he's filed that lawsuit. You can't pick up the phone and say, hey, Eric, what are you doing here? This doesn't make sense. Look, if you need some navigational help, we'll do what we can. That is off the table because now there's lawyers involved.
Yeah.
Bondi's got to talk to their attorney, and their attorney is seeing his attorney or those attorneys. They get paid regardless. They don't care how it turns out. When you're in a lawsuit, oh, they're in for it now because Knight just filed a lawsuit. Well, it doesn't mean that I have anything to go on, but my attorneys will say that I do, and we'll keep going, and they'll keep getting money no matter what, win or lose.
Speaking of attorneys, a lawyer for the disgraced rap singer Sean Diddy Combs, who is facing charges for sex trafficking, this lawyer has said he can no longer continue as a legal representative of Mr. Combs. Defense attorney Anthony Rico has withdrawn as one of Diddy's six defense attorneys, saying, quote, under no circumstances, end quote, could he continue in the role. So things are getting a little hairy. I think that's because Pam Bondi has got some stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Diddy Combs spent some time on Epstein Island. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so, yeah, you got to wonder if Diddy done did, you know?
Do what did he dumb or did he do? Yes, I know.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a song there. You know,
yes, there is.
Is there a rapper in the house?
I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm done. I have no more to add to today's update program. Have you? Have you?
No, I was done before we started.
Okay.
So now I'm done.
Okay.
But I'm not Diddy. Anyway, I think there's only one thing left to do because after all this Diddy dum dum do, I think it's time to Diddy dum dum say hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.